Hope the things we have to say this morning you'll find edifying and helpful in the work of the cause of Christ. This is this generation's church, and it's our responsibility to spread the gospel to the whole world while we're alive. So let's take our responsibility with courage. And this morning, that's what I want to talk about a little bit. In Philippians, whenever you study motivation, things that motivate us to do what we ought to do, we find in Philippians, the first chapter, in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that in my imprisonment, the cause of Christ has become known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Paul says one of the things that caused the church to be able to progress during this time was courage. And I believe that that's the same thing today as well. I see in some places a lack of knowledge. I see an ignorance of the will of God, but not mostly. In fact, most are fairly familiar with what the Bible teaches on most subjects. But I do see a fear. I do see a lack of courage that exists among us. And whenever I talk to people about it, I often get a really kind of annoying kind of response. You know, I get a lot of times that I'm introverted. And there are extroverts and there are introverts, and believe me, I can tell the difference. I mean, I don't have much fear in that area. But it seems that we seem to be basically extroverts or basically balanced in that. Sometimes we're not as outgoing as we'd like to be, and sometimes we are, but we're kind of a mix until it comes to spreading the gospel, and then everybody turns into an introvert for some reason. We all turn into introverts. You know, I'm tired of hearing that excuse. That is an excuse. I know some introverts, but because they do their evangelism one-on-one, they're very, very successful. You see, an introvert can be successful with the gospel. They're just very good at personal evangelism. Instead of maybe getting out in front of everybody and, you know, yelling, "Repent." But the fact of the matter is that introversion is not the problem. It's a lack of courage. It's fear. It's genuine, authentic fear of rejection often. It's not often a fear of even personal bodily harm or some kind of consequence in the flesh. It's more just an emotional response of, "I don't want to be rejected." Young people, we have a life. I hope we have a life. If you don't have one, get one. But the whole fact of the matter is that, you know, we tend to don't recognize our life as a challenge. Well, it's a challenge to learn to ride a bike. It's a challenge to talk to girls and guys. That's scary. It's even scarier when you start asking them to marry you. Or you start talking about things and, yeah. But are you going to be intimidated into silence? Are you going to let your life pass without ever accepting the challenge to learn to drive? Well, no, it's challenging to merge. It's fearful sometimes, but we take it and we say, "I want to drive, and so I'm going to get on the highway. I'm going to go down the road. I'm going to," why? Because that's something we want to do. Isn't evangelism something we want to do? Isn't confessing Christ something that we should be courageous about? But yet we don't seem to overcome that one. The Bible tells us in Peter that one of the qualities that we need to meet, 2 Peter chapter 1, whenever he talks about the Christian graces that we're supposed to add to our lives, he says, "Now for this very reason," verse 5, "also applying all diligence in your faith supply," and I'm reading from the American Standard, "moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control." The New American Standard translates a unique Greek word, moral excellence, here. It's really a military term, which means courage. It means faithfulness in the face of fear. John Wayne had something to say about fear. He said, "Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is recognizing you're fearful and going ahead and saddling up anyway." And that's what I want to say to all of us, guys. Listen, we're not going to get any converts if we don't spread the seed of the kingdom, Luke 8:11, around amongst our friends. I believe the power of the Word of God is going to bring somebody to Jesus if we will get it out of ourselves and share it. God's got no other plan other than the church spread the gospel. Even angels directed him to a preacher in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10. This power has been given to us in earthen vessels. That's you and me, and nobody else is going to be doing it. We need moral excellence. We need virtue. We need courage. And that means doing something that makes us feel uncomfortable. Oh my! Jesus took a cross. I don't think it was comfortable. I thought we were supposed to deny ourselves and take up a cross and follow him. And not a padded cross at that. It's not going to be comfortable. But my friends, that's what it takes in order to be virtuous, in order to be courageous. It takes us getting over our fears, but instead we seem to, in the church, be more willing to compromise our faith. In 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, there was an old prophet that evidently, because of the separation of the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes of Judah, wasn't going to be used by God to preach against the place at Bethel, the temple, the false worship that had been set up, corresponding directly on top of the God-given celebrations that were supposed to be. He, in his own mind, made up these things and, you know, the whole Jeroboam thing. But what happened? The old prophet got lonely. He didn't like being isolated. He didn't like being different. Where is this young prophet? And he said, bring him back with you to your house that he may drink water. He went to the young man. The young man had already told people twice, I can't do that. The will of the Lord is, I not eat in this place, I don't drink in this place, and I go home a different way than the way I came. Now, he was pretty courageous when he was standing before the king. He was pretty courageous whenever he just told everybody this. But somebody, this older prophet, was motivated by what? Have you ever thought of that when you read the story there in 1 Kings 13? What motivated him? Probably loneliness. Maybe isolation. Maybe the fact that he was a prophet and God was no longer going to be with those people separating from themselves in Bethel, the northern 10 tribes. But what did he do? The Bible says in verse 18, but he lied to him. He lied to this young prophet, got him to come home with him to eat and drink. Why did he lie? Why did this old prophet lie to the younger prophet? Well, we don't know, but I think we can speculate. It was probably loneliness. It was probably weariness with believing this was wrong. Probably discouragement at looking the world around him change. But he wound up lying to him for the sake of fellowship, and it caused the physical death was the punishment to this young man for turning away from the word of the Lord. Now, why do I bring that up? It's easier to compromise with people than it is to tell them the truth sometimes. We need courage. We need young men and women and older prophets' wives to be faithful to the word of the Lord, even in the face of loneliness, even in the face of isolation, even in the face of an emotional persecution. You need to stand up and you need to say, this is the will of the Lord and I will not compromise. What do we need? We need courage to speak the truth in love. And I've got to quickly go on. Jesus said in Proverbs 27 and verse 5, I want you to understand this beautiful passage. Proverbs 27. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You know, sometimes a friend tells you the truth even though you don't want to hear it. Young people, I want you to listen up. Anybody that offers you a mint, take it. because they're being your friend. If somebody comes up, hey, you need a mint, take it. Why? Because they're trying to protect you from your mouth. That's the whole point, your breath. You know, and that's what I'm trying to say here. Sometimes a friend will tell another friend, oh, that's not working. You know, why? Because they care about you. And if you care about somebody's soul, are you going to be a faithful friend or a deceitful enemy that goes ahead and says, no, everything's fine, it's all right, I know the word of the Lord, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter? That's not being a friend. A friends don't let friends go to hell. And if we're going to be God's people, if you're God's people, if you're God's son or daughter, you do not let people go to hell because you're too afraid. Or, Glenn, I'm just introverted. You're not introverted. You're scared. Get over it. Jesus said, I want you to have virtue. I want you to have courage. Notice Proverbs 17, verse 15. Listen to the seriousness of this passage. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. Do you leave the impression everything's fine whenever it's not fine? Tell them the truth. Jesus told us in Luke 9, 26, this is my last passage. Whoever is ashamed of me and my word, I will be ashamed of in the day of judgment. Young people, you want the church to be successful? Get some guts. Have some courage. Speak the truth in love, but do not let your friends go to hell.